Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
As we continue in our series related to prayer, I couldn't wait to have the opportunity to preach this psalm, Psalm 121. It fits so beautifully within the Psalter. I'm not completely sure if you're familiar with the structure of the Psalter, but in particular, there's a 15-psalm series that's called the Songs or the Psalms of Ascent. And the people of God would sing these songs on their way to Jerusalem. They would begin in the low valley, if you will, and they would work their way up toward Jerusalem, just so that you can understand. Hopefully your scripture's still open there to Psalm 121. But look at it with me briefly. If you go back to Psalm 120, you'll see, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. This psalmist is surrounded. He's down in the valley. He's in a desolate place, and he's looking for hope. He's had enough of this world, and he's moving on. He's stepping forward. Look at Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So he moves from the depth of this valley and the struggles to, instead of just looking around him, he looks up. He looks up to the mountains and he looks up to the Lord. And then where is he headed? Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. There's this process, there's this movement, there's a journey. The people of God are on a journey. We're on a journey. We're on a journey home. Psalm 121 is traveling music. One of our elders, after he heard the sermon, he just kind of whispered as he walked by me and he said, you know, Jesus has Psalm 121 on his iPod. It's traveling music that the people of God sing. We sing to the Lord in the midst of the valleys as we long for home, as we long for heaven. I'll never forget earlier of maybe 18 years ago when I first came to this church and worked in the youth ministry. One of our ruling elders, Russell Johnson, and I, we both had two sons, and we would pile those boys in Russell's van. And we would get Russ and Ryan, Jordan and Carter. We'd get in the van and we'd start driving. And as soon as we get on Preston Road, Russell would look over at me and say, we need some traveling music. And he'd turn on his music. And we would sing such great gospel tunes as Woolly Bully, Under the Boardwalk, Barbara Ann. And as we would sing those songs, they would eventually give way to some truly gospel-centered songs, because we would look at one another and say, okay, when's the first time you heard that song Under the Boardwalk? Where were you? What were you doing? And we'd tell the stories of our lives. And we'd let our boys hear the stories of our lives. And through the process of riding in that van on our road trips, our boys would eavesdrop and they would hear stories about how their daddies came to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how their dads came to an understanding that this stuff around them, though it's distracting and engaging, it's really not home for us. Our home is heaven. Our home is with the Lord. And so we would run around in that van and we just had a great time. Now I want you to think of Psalm 121 as traveling music. And I hope you've committed it to memory. About 3 years ago, I stood in this pulpit and asked that every member of our church would memorize this psalm. You might recall that we were in a bit of a transition about 3 years ago. And we didn't need to look around us. We didn't need to look at who was staying and who was leaving. We needed to look to the Lord, the head of His church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the guardian keeper of His church. He is the shepherd of your soul. And so I ask you to memorize this psalm because we were in transition. We needed some traveling music, but we needed our traveling music to be from God's word. And so I hope you turn this psalm into a hymn for yourself. As you leaned into the thought that God is moving us, we're not sure exactly what He's doing. But we're going to walk with Him. And we're going to trust Him. And we're going to sing songs of faith in the middle of our struggles. And lo and behold, here we are. God in His kindness is faithful to His people. You're living proof of it right now. That God is faithful to His people. And so I've been working on this sermon for about 3 years, looking forward to an opportunity to unpack it for us. And I have a simple two-point outline for us. If you just look at the first two verses, you'll notice that it screams something. It says, God is dynamically able. He's an able God. And then the remainder of the psalm says that God is diligently willing. Verses 3 through 8 speak of God's diligent willingness to take care of His people. Let's look at the first point and understand where we get the idea that God is dynamically able. Verse 1, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? This word help is the word that some of you think of when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when it says, Adam was all alone, and God saw that it was not good, and He made a helper, a helpmate for him, a helpmeet. That word really means a very powerful concept. The concept is, without you, I can't make it. Without you, I will not make it. It's not simply the concept of we're married and we seek for domestic peace. And you do your part and I do my part and somehow we stumble through this life comfortably. It's a higher calling than that. It's the sense that we belong to the Lord, honey. And we're going to attempt great things for God. And if you don't walk with me, if you don't pray with me and cry with me and laugh with me and dream with me, you know what? I can't make it. I can't do it without you. That's the word the psalmist used to describe the Lord. He says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? Where is it? Where is this person? Who is this person without whom I won't make it? Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord's our helper. My help comes from the Lord. And then listen to this little descriptive phrase, who made heaven and earth. And if you're just thinking in terms of church talk, you just kind of skip over it. God who made heaven and earth, blah, 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 blah. He made heaven and earth. There's nothing you see that He did not make. He sustains that which He creates. You're also living proof of that, aren't you? He's sustaining you right now. He's strengthening you. He's carried you to this point. I was reading a wonderful book over the summer. It's called God's Prayer Book by Ben Patterson. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And in it, he tells a story about John Piper. It says, one July 4th, John Piper sat on a curb with his wife and son, watching the fireworks explode over the night sky of Minneapolis. After a while, he noticed a white light behind some trees. It was the moon rising quietly and modestly among the fireworks, ancient and terrifying in its splendor, and yet completely unnoticed. Piper reflected on the moon. It rises 240,000 miles above the earth, roughly 500,000 times higher than the highest fireworks. It moves in its orbit at a speed of 2,300 miles per hour, about five times that of fireworks. Its thickness is the distance from San Francisco to Cleveland, 2,160 miles. Its weight is 81 quintillion tons. It has mountain ranges nearly the height of Everest, empty seas 750 miles across, and craters 146 miles wide and 20,000 feet deep. Each day, this silent behemoth does something that no man-made power can do. It effortlessly lifts the oceans of the earth, incalculable trillions of tons of water, into the air and lowers them down again, some 19 feet in Eastport, Maine, 10 feet in Boston, and up to 43 feet in the Bay of Fundy in Nova Scotia. Were we to stand in the light of the moon, our body fluids would boil. Were we to stand in its shadow, we would freeze instantly. Add all this to the fact that the moon reflects light from a medium-sized star we call the sun, from a distance of 93,000 miles. Any closer, and it and we would be incinerated. All of this, it seemed, went unnoticed that night and goes largely unnoticed most nights. Did you notice the moon last night? Did you notice the sun this morning? Did you notice your heart pounding in your chest? Did you notice your lungs oxygenating your blood in the last few moments? God made heaven and earth. He is the one who is able. He's the one who's able to come alongside his people. And I want you to notice something that's beautiful in the remainder of the psalm. He's not only able, he's also willing. He's willing to walk with his people. Now, the verb that dominates the remainder of the psalm is the verb the keeper. And I love the way the English Standard Version has translated this to keep, if you will, the rhythm of the psalm going together so that we have this understanding of how this key verb works. And it should be like a beacon flashing in your face every time you read this psalm, every time we take a look at it. Look with me, if you will, beginning in verse 3, and just watch for the verb keep. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We have this idea of to keep, and I want you to recognize it means to shield. It means to protect. It means to guard. It means to shepherd. It means to stand around, to stand before, to stand beside, to stand behind, to stand above, to stand below, to go within. This is our keeper. He keeps his people. Not only is that what God does, I want you to notice the relationship between the word keep and the word will. Return your eyes to the text. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord's your keeper. The Lord's your shade on your right hand. The sun will or shall not strike you by day, nor shall or nor will the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I want you to have an understanding of what the psalmist has stacked up for us. In these 8 little verses, he's screaming to us that God is able and God is willing. In the midst of your journey, as you lift your eyes in Dallas, what do you see? You might see a few buildings. You might see the idolatrous structures of our society. You might see the idolatrous structure and sin pattern of your own life. God's calling us to lift our eyes above those and to see who He is. Because anxiety grips the traveler. Are we going to make our connection? Will the cabbie show up on time? Will everyone be able to fit all their luggage in the carry-on so we don't have to spend extra money to check it? Constant little dogs that nag as you travel. When it says in verse 3, he won't let your foot be moved, it's the word of a convoy. He's in charge of the convoy. He's your bodyguard. He's stepping around you before you. When it says, behold, he who keeps Israel, he's the keeper of his people. He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd of your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for your soul. He watches over you. It says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. And what this means is you're kept like a treasure the way a rich man keeps his treasure. He protects us from the heat and the cold. I'll never forget one time when I was 18 years old, I had the bright idea to ride motorcycles from Phoenix, Arizona to North Platte, Nebraska, with my other 18-year-old friend, Boyd Connor. And so we got on our 750 Honda motorcycles, and we left Phoenix, and we headed for North Platte through Colorado. Some of you right now are thinking, oh, his poor parents. I wouldn't blame you. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is like church material. We left on our motorcycles, and when we hit the Continental Divide in Colorado, we ran into a snowstorm in August. And so, being so thoughtful and well-prepared, we each had our own sleeping bags. So we pulled over, and we got on a roadside rest on a concrete slab, and Boyd got in his sleeping bag, and I got in my sleeping bag, and we just tried to make it through the night. After about 3 hours, I realized something that I didn't want to verbalize, but I basically said, Boyd, are you awake? And he goes, yeah. And I said, Boyd, I don't know how to tell you this, but if I don't get in your sleeping bag, I think I'm going to freeze to death. And Boyd said, I've been thinking the same thing for about an hour. And he says, I think I'm going to freeze to death because I'm not getting in a sleeping bag with you. I said, Boyd, I've got to get in. And he goes, I know, get in, we're going to die. So at around 2 in the morning, I crawled into that sleeping bag with Boyd. And in about 20 minutes, we were both sound asleep like babies. We just had to do some things that we wouldn't normally do. It put us in a position where we didn't know what to do. We needed help, and we had to cross over some kind of natural boundaries just to find some warmth in the same sleeping bag. And I want you to recognize that even though I didn't know the Lord, He was watching over me. I was an 18-year-old hellion, and He was even then watching over me because To him I was already his son. The Lord Jesus Christ had already done for me what I couldn't do for myself. He had lived a perfectly righteous life and had died a death in my place. And I was his son and God was watching over me. You know, God doesn't always end the story on a happy note for us. When we think of God watching over us, and some of us as Christians just kind of want to skip our way through life with a big fake faux smile on our face, as if everything's okay, and it's not okay. Life is hard. When you go to bed at night and when you wake up in the morning, you hear the voice of your sin nature condemning you, and throwing rocks at you and bringing back memories of your failures. And sometimes even worse, while we were in Africa, and this is a haunting, difficult story. While we were in Africa, we met a pastor named Peter, a marvelous, tall, black African man with bright eyes and a beautiful smile and excellent God-given leadership abilities. And I liked him. And we hung out together and I preached in his church. And when we were leaving, Laura and I were walking along with Peter through the slums of Nairobi, the Mathari slum, about 880,000 people living without indoor plumbing, without running water, without electricity, all massed in together, many suffering from AIDS. And we walked through the midst of them. And I said, Peter, how could we help you? And he said, well, a widow who has a little child came to us right after you finished your sermon this morning and said that she needs food. And my wife and I don't have any food to give her. So Laura and I are walking along thinking, they come to the pastor and the pastor doesn't have anything to give them. I knew I had a $50 bill in my pocket. And so I said, Peter, may I give you some money? And he said, yes. He said, but be careful. Don't let other people see that you're giving me money. We're not safe. I said, okay. And so I kind of gave him the hug and just slipped the money out of my hand into his hand. And we hugged and then we went on. And the next day, Laura and I took Peter out to lunch because we wanted to know how he was doing. And we really like him. We believe we're going to have a lifetime relationship with Peter to give encouragement to him and for him to give encouragement to us. And I said, Peter, did that money help the situation? What's the deal? And he kind of looked away from us. He wouldn't make eye contact. And I said, uh-oh, something's not right here. And Peter said, well, I gave the money to my wife, and then she went to visit the widow and the little baby. But she didn't buy food. And I thought, well, what did she do with the money, Peter? And he said, well, when she got there, the baby had died from starvation. And so she, instead of buying food for our family and her family, gave the $50 so that the baby could be buried rather than thrown onto the dump in the river bottom of the slum. Now you in your brain might be saying, why would you tell that story at this moment when it says things like, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore? Because our life isn't about comfort. Our life isn't about living to be 150 and look like you're 25. Our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that little baby is home with the Lord. Is it sad? Yes. Is that little widow in Nairobi this morning sad, remembering the anniversary of her baby's death just a few weeks ago? Yes. But the Lord is the keeper of the souls of his people. And the Lord is the keeper of your soul. And when it says the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, that's the Hebrew way of saying everywhere you go, he's with you. everywhere, whether you're here this morning for church, or you go somewhere this afternoon, or you get on an airplane to leave tomorrow morning for business. He goes with you. You're going out and you're coming in is the Hebrew way of saying everywhere. And it says from this time forth and forevermore. And that means at all times. Everywhere and at all times, the Lord is the shepherd of your soul. He is able. He is willing. What's incumbent upon us to recognize something about ourselves? That we're incapable. We're unable. We're not the maker of heaven and earth. We're frail, sinful, finite people. And we lift our eyes in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our sin and our idolatry, in the middle of this culture in which we walk. The people of God have always walked within an evil culture, seeking to be in it but not of it. Lift your eyes to Him, your keeper, your guardian, the shepherd of your soul, and walk with Him, knowing that He keeps you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Walk with Him. Serve Him. Give your life away. Give your money away. Stand before Him this morning and recognize who He is. He's able. He's willing. Are you able? No. No, I'm not able. Are you willing? Are you willing to trust the God of all creation with your soul? The keeper, the shepherd, the guardian. I would call on us, the people of God, after 3 years of memorizing this psalm, after 3 years of meditating in this psalm, to say, there's a step to be taken here. There's a recognition that I am incapable and He is able. And that He is willing to walk with me. And I'm willing to walk with Him. I'm willing to walk under the shade of this mighty, mighty God. Through hard times. I'm not telling you, give $5 to the church and He'll give you $500 back. I'm telling you, walk with the guardian of your soul in the difficulties of life. Trust Him. He's able. Trust Him. He's willing. Turn your hearts to Him and enjoy Him. And as you lift your eyes, as you ascend to Him, you'll see His glory. And you'll live a life that is heaven-bound, singing the songs of a pilgrim until you reach home. Let's pray together. Father, we stand before You as Your people. Lord, You see all of the warts and struggles and mistakes and sins. You see our selfishness. You see how we're not willing to learn in some areas. And Lord, You love us because You are the only one in all creation who is able to take us and to make us Your people and to bring glory to Yourself through us. We worship You, Lord. We praise You. We honor You. We lift our eyes to the mountains. From where does our help come? Our help comes from You, our Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Oh Lord, we trust You. We repent of our anxiety. We repent of not trusting You. And now, Lord Jesus, in the power of Your Spirit, cause the glory of Your peace to race over us and to wash us like a river. Even now, as we're on our way home, we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.